Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today, and I'm from PA. Today is Friday, May 24, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the big book. We're in There's a Solution. We're on page 21, the second paragraph, starting with Here's a Fellow. And we're reading eight sentences. Sorry about that. So let's start that over again. We're starting with Here's a Fellow, and it's ending with the eighth sentence, even dangerously antisocial. All right, our readers for today. Tens of P is going to take care of the steps. We got Nancy C for the traditions. Starting off, us off with the text is Susan S.H. Page 164 is Loretta M. Our backup readers, Amory M. Newcomer greeters, Kathleen W. Second hour host is Christine G. And announcements is Kathy S. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,427, 21,427. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,428. 21,428. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Now I ask Tenzin P. To share the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up with the traditions is Nancy C.
Morning, Ross. Good morning, fellows. Nancy C. gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thanks, Nance. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're back, and there's a solution. We're on page 21 and starting with the second paragraph, and we're just reading eight sentences. So it starts with, here is a fellow who has been puzzling you, ending with, even dangerously antisocial. And I've asked Susan S.H. to start us off today.
Thank you, Ross. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful. Here is a fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control. He does absurd, incredible, tragic things while drinking. He is a real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He is seldom mildly intoxicated. He is always more or less insanely drunk. His disposition while drinking resembles his normal nature, but little. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet let him drink for a day, and he frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. What I see from this is a very handy reminder, just what it was like. Lack of control, oh boy, that's me. Absurd, incredible, tragic things while planning or eating. Yeah, I did. And it's true. And I need to remember that, I'm seeing more of Dr. Jekyll lately. Not quite so objectionable. I think I have them straight, which one is the obnoxious guy and which one is not. And Mr. Hyde, I believe, was the obnoxious one, but he can still come out. I am an overeater, and once a pickle, always a pickle. I'm not going to not be that. I am taking action I can to turn this disease over to my higher power every day. I spent so much time either insanely drunk on the food or insanely drunk with the idea of obtaining my next binge. I was a much unkinder person than I would like to be. And I can still be that way. And I'm social. Yeah, I wanted so much to be a part, and yet I would do everything to get away from people. I am grateful that I don't live in that at all times today. But I'm grateful that I have directions when those qualities come up. I have directions to take them back to a higher power. And that is exactly my plan today. For today, let me take the emotions and the things that come up and turn them over. Take them to my higher power and watch them pass. I don't have to live there. And I don't have to eat over any of it. So I'm very grateful. This little part of a paragraph was just what I needed for today. I don't need to be insanely drunk over anything. But I am insanely grateful. And that happens every day. But I really look at what I've been given and look back at where I have been. So with that, I will pass.
All right, Susan, thank you very much. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to have a shot at sharing. So who would like to share today?
Janet B. UK.
Janet B. Harland. There's someone else in there.
Tanya D.
Liz E. UK.
Liz E.
Judith S. P.
Judith.
Mary B. in the UK.
Mary B.
Nancy R.
Nancy R.
Tanya D.
That's it was. You're Tanya D. You're up there in the middle. All right. 1 second.
Henrietta R. from Texas.
For me?
You've lost your moderator.
Janice P. M.
Russ, we're not hearing you. Russ, press star 1, please.
Wow, that was fun. I muted myself. All right, who else? I'm sorry about that.
Did you get Henrietta R. from Texas?
Yes, I got you. Mm-hmm. I think I heard Melissa C.
Did you hear Janice P.M.?
Yeah, no, I did.
And Robin P. in Sardinia?
Yep, Robin P. So we got a heck of a list now. We're pretty good now. So we got Janet B., Harlan G., Tanya D., Liz E., Judith S. P., Mary B., Nancy R., Hanietta R., Melissa C., if I heard that right, Janice P. M., and Robin P. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Okay. Next up is Janet B.
Hi, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I like laugh a little at this line. He may be one of the finest fellows in the world until he drinks. Well, I wasn't a fine person even when I didn't drink. I wasn't like half fine, but then put sugar in me and then I was, you know, a lunatic. I was totally rotten to the core. When I was binging, when I was not binging, and I was, of course, binging more than I was not binging, I was just rotten. I didn't care about anyone except myself. I did crazy, tragic, and absurd things while I was binging and when I was not binging. I mean, what normal person takes a razor blade, slashes herself up, and then goes to her current boyfriend and says, I've been mugged, I've been raped, you need to help me. I mean, those were the kind of things I did. And also at the top of the list, my lack of control, my lack of control over food. I mean, I can just remember walking the streets of New York City at 2 in the morning with my rent money because I had to get food, right? Absurd, incredible, tragic, but not a fine fellow ever. And then what happened? What could, like, save me from this, like, you know, runaway train with no brakes that I was on? Only one thing, and that is God. And on page 25, just like 4 pages from now, we read these beautiful lines that the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. My heart was rotten. I needed a change, and the only thing that could happen is if God himself could come into my heart and work a miracle of change and change me so that my values are different, so that the way I treat people is different, so that my goals and my motives are different. And when God comes in and kind of does a rearrangement job in our hearts and our lives, well, the food obsession just falls away automatically. And how do we get this? How does our Creator enter into our hearts and lives? Obviously by these steps, and the biggest way is by surrender, by surrendering everything, by saying, God, you've got all of me, not just my food. You have my entire life, my work, my family, how I think of you, how I treat people. And then that's what allowed God to come into my life and work this kind of miracle where I would no more like slash myself and fake a mugging than I would, I don't know, anything. Like, it just, that's not me anymore. God has changed me. God has changed and will change all of us who surrender our hearts and our lives to him. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Harlan G., followed by Tanya D.
Thank you very much, Russ, for your service. Janet, thanks for your share. Unbelievable. This is a particular poignant paragraph for me today, and the line that really jumps out at me is, here is the fellow who has been puzzling you, especially in his lack of control, and the one person that I puzzled more than anybody was myself. I looked around at the world that I was born into, and I saw a world of people that could seemingly and easily moderate their intake of food. I could not simultaneously control what I was eating and enjoy what I was eating. I could not function in the world where people were thin and people were athletic and people looked so good and I looked so bad. The other line that jumps out at me is, he may be one of the finest fellows in the world, yet let him drink for a day or let him eat for a minute, frequently becomes disgustingly and even dangerously antisocial. I couldn't fit into the world socially. I was uncomfortable even in a crowd. But I also want to express this morning how grateful I am to be alive. I am 70 years old as of this morning. And today is my belly button birthday. And the most horrific, nightmarish disease in the world of compulsive overeater has given way to the most glorious and the most wonderful way of life imaginable. And I am so grateful for every one of you, my teachers, my friends, my professors in life, the people that I sponsor, and the people, the thousands and thousands of people who in 45 years of attending meetings of this program, I have crossed paths with. There is hope. There is hope because there's a God. And there is hope because there's a program. And there is hope because there is a better way of life than the food could ever offer. More than money, more than fame, more than any of that, I have friends. I have a purpose and a mighty rhythm underlay all. And when I get up in the morning, I never have, if I'm lucky enough to get up in the morning, I never have to wonder what my job is, and I never have to wonder why I'm here. I am so grateful to my higher power that I choose to call God. There's no way that anybody could have predicted that I would live to be 70 years old. If you're 7, if you're 70, if you're 90, and you're struggling with this disease, come take our hands. Let us show you how to have the greatest life possible. The possibilities here are endless, and the love here is endless. This is the greatest way of life that I have ever been exposed to. I am so grateful to be alive, and I am so grateful for my higher power that I choose to call God, that I am 70 going on about 3, because I've never felt this young or this good in my life. Russ, thank you for your service today. Thank you for all of you for attending. You've made my life a heaven on earth. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Laura. Happy birthday, boss. All right, next up is Tanya D, followed by Lizzie.
Hi, this is Tanya D, recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Grateful to be here this morning, and thank you, Russ, for moderating. And, you know, what I'm especially grateful for is, you know, just how much I relate to what other people are saying. You know, often my share is just a repeat of what other people are saying, you know, in different words and different experiences, because, you know, I too was not a fine person when I was not compulsively eating. The compulsive eating definitely had an effect, you know, becoming dangerously antisocial. I mostly wanted to eat in isolation. So, you know, maybe that's lucky for other people that most of the time after I had binged, I wasn't around anybody. But when I lived with my parents, they bore the brunt of that, because I would, you know, they would come home from work and I will have, you know, kind of started my eating or maybe finished it, and I would be just irritable, discontent, and you know, there'd be lots of yelling and fighting. You know, and the dangerously antisocial, I would make plans with friends, you know, to go to the movies or something, and then I would cancel with some pretense, like, oh, I'm not feeling well, and then I would stay home and watch TV and eat by myself. You know, I would just isolate, and it's not because I thought those people were scary or wouldn't accept me. It's because of, you know, just the self-hatred I had and the disease. You know, for me, this is definitely a disease of isolation. And then another thing that jumped out is, you know, rarely mildly intoxicated, more or less insanely drunk. I never set out to binge. I always thought I would have just one. And yet I would always, unless there was somebody around, you know, unless there was no more food or unless there was somebody around, those were the only things that would prevent me from binging, like once I picked up an alcoholic food. And I was also very puzzled by it. I was like, this can't be right, you know, and this is why I tried, partly for why I tried for so long to fix it myself, because I'm like, this is just not possible that I can't handle this. But yet it was. And after, you know, many, many experiments and learning about OA, I had to admit that I could not just have a little bit of those foods, because I would just end up, you know, the compulsive overeater equivalent of insanely drunk with all the repercussions that followed. And so I'm really grateful that I found a way and that I don't have to live that way anymore. And, you know, that I don't isolate, and that, you know, even though I still have some character defects, I'm also not the same person that I used to be. Thanks, and with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Tanya. Next up is Lizzie, and followed by Judith P.
Good morning, and good afternoon, depending where you are in the world. My name is Liz E. For Elegant. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in southwest England, in a city called Bristol. Thank you for hearing me, and thank you everybody for doing service. What am I going to say? I don't know. But here is the Jekyll and Hyde. Gosh, that's me all over. And while I may be recovered and abstinent from food, certainly my head, I have to work on daily, because I can move into Jekyll and Hyde mode really easily. I can be quite calm and then suddenly move into a different space. And that's when I know I'm not connected to God. So I have to work harder and harder and harder to be connected from God, because when I go into that other space, I'm blocked from God. And those behaviors block me from God. And these are the things I learned doing the step four. What are my behaviors that trigger me to kind of behave in ways of self-will and self-destruction? And they are the behaviors that I have to watch for. And I'm just so grateful for everybody on this call and for this amazing program, that today I have more insight into that. But today is day one for me, because every day is day one for me. And this other word stuck out for me is frequently becomes antisocial. I can't find it now. It was about insanity. More or less insanely drunk. And yeah, as others have said, that's kind of that insanity can show up in many, many different ways for me and many different behaviors around that. So that's me. Thanks a million. Love to get outreach. Thank you for your time. I'll pass. Bye.
Thanks, Liz. Next up is Judith SP, followed by Mary B.
Hi, everyone. My name is Judith SP, gratefully recovered for this moment in Maryland. Thank you, Russ, and everybody, for being here. And thank you, God, for bringing me home to a place inside and outside that I feel and know God is loving me and accepting me. And recently I quote-unquote acknowledged, I don't even want to say celebrate, but I acknowledged 3 years of abstinence. And I no longer want any of the foods that poison my body. As I've said often, I never want to put oil in my gas tank. But in my disease and in my recovery, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde are always here. And the reason that I get confused between Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is because I always assume the doctor is the good person. And the common Mr. or Miss or Mrs., whatever it is the one struggling. However, the inverse is here. But both my disease and both God are always around. And I can take any word in this beginning paragraph, this lengthy paragraph, and talk on it and resonate with it. But the word that just pierces me is disgustingly. And the embarrassment that I even felt last night into this morning was the fear covered by anger, covered by reacting. And that's my Dr. Jekyll. And I know in my heart and soul, as someone said in a meeting the other day, when I'm plugged into God, when my source of power is my higher power, who I call God, I can quiet, I can look at, and I can become that person and live that person that God has created me to be. But whether it's food or fear or a flat tire, if I don't stay plugged in and connected, I'm going to always be moving from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde. And Dr. Jekyll can destroy Mr. Hyde. And has over many, many years. And in this day, I make a pledge to God and myself and to you all to become aware. And rather than having my experiences be a boomerang that comes and pierces me, that I can live in God's grace, serve others, and be grateful for all that I have. Happy birthday, Harlan, and everyone have a blessed day.
All right, Judith, thank you. Before Mary B. jumps up on here, we're going to let you know where we're at. So we are in, there's a solution, page 21, the second paragraph. We're reading eight sentences. So it's, here's a fellow who has been puzzling you, ending with even dangerously antisocial. So Mary B. is up.
Thank you very much. My name is Mary. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in the UK, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. And it's that bit about incredibly antisocial is what I'm connecting with most in today's reading. And the thing about being antisocial is it's my mental obsession that blocks out, crowds out all other thoughts apart from what I'm getting from whatever behavior or substance I am taking from the activity of compulsive eating. And sometimes every time that comes from a spiritual malady. For me, it's the spiritual malady that feeds the second part of step one, the mental obsession, which blocks me from a defense which will stop me triggering the physical allergy from picking up that compulsive bite. And the only thing that's removed it is the power greater than me, this, through this program and fellowship and helping others. It is the only thing that's helped me. And that means that when I can more easily identify through my own inventory, times when I am becoming antisocial in my behaviour, particularly around eating. Sometimes I'm going into scarcity mode, thinking I want to go into preservation, I want to do resource management with food. Then I know that I'm moving into spiritual malady because the symptom of obsession is coming up. And before I know it, I need to make sure I'm getting back into 10, 11, 12 as quickly as I can. And the best thing really is to not leave 10, 11, and 12, but I'm getting back into 10, 11, and 12 as quickly as I can because I need a spiritual defense. Lack of power is my problem, not lack of knowledge, not can I efficiently manage these resources so that I get some kind of vicarious pleasure out of making sure that there's enough of X, Y, Z to keep me going. It's about knowing that there's an underlying spiritual, it's about believing that there's an underlying spiritual malady that is going to trigger that obsession, and that obsession is going to trigger that me picking up that first compulsive bite. And the only way I've found to deal with that, what I believe is my problem, is through, like I said, 10, 11, and 12 in this program. And this is an amazing, to what this chapter is called, solution. And for me, that is my only solution. I've tried many other human aid control methods, but that is my only solution. Actually, I'm grateful that I have been antisocial. I'm grateful that my behavior has been brought to my consciousness in that way, because I now know that there's an infinitely more powerful way of living and being than anything that seeking ease and comfort from food could give me. So, yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right, thanks, Mary. Next up is Nancy R., followed by Hanayetta. Star one, Nancy.
Good morning, it's Nancy R. from Illinois, a compulsive overeater. So very grateful this morning. I want to share this morning because I am a real compulsive overeater, and I experienced so much Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. in my life. I've been in the RE rooms for over 25 years, having some amount of what at the time I knew as recovery and abstinence and, you know, hours and days and months and sometimes up to almost 2 years. And then the same depths of despair of relapse, you know, for hours or days or months or up to 5 years before I started working this program, where it's outlined in the big book. And I just want to share how grateful I am today that there is a solution and that I found it and that I just kept coming back. And until I was willing to do the work and ask a recovered OA member on this line to be my sponsor, and knowing that I was if I asked that, I was going to be willing to surrender to everything that she asked me to do, and really started reading this big book as a textbook. And, you know, the main purpose of the book is to develop, I'm not going to say it exactly right, but develop a relationship with my higher power and have spiritual awarenesses and awakenings. And I just wanted to share today that I am 2.5 years abstinent, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's nothing. I can't go 2.5 minutes on my own without picking up food. And so I'm grateful for my ongoing deepening relationship with my higher power, and for the willingness to continue to work these steps. And I used to make that such a big, awful burden that I was not willing to do. And it is not a burden. It is so incredibly life-giving. And that's what I have today. I'm just extremely grateful that I will pass.
Thank you, Nance. Next up is Anietta, followed by Melissa C. If I did that right.
Good morning, Russ. This is Connie R. from Texas. I want to thank everybody for their shares. I want to wish Harlan a happy birthday before I forget. And, you know, it's when I was looking back so many years ago that I wasn't always a mean person, or I was always totally insane. But the person I was mean to and took everything out on was my mom. My poor mom took the brunt of everything I did. And, you know, I'm so glad that I lived long enough and she lived long enough that I could make a total amends and to really cherish my mom a lot, you know, in my older years. And she's been gone for a while now, but and what the weirdest thing is that she told one of her aides that I was her favorite daughter. Now, I'm the daughter that gave her the most. I have 5 sisters and a brother. No, 4 sisters and a brother, counting me, it's the 5. But I asked one of my sisters, I said, doesn't that make you upset that she said I was her favorite since I was, like, the most trouble? And she said, no, but you're the one who succeeded the most. You're the one who, you know, got into OA and changed their life around, went to school, got degrees, you even got a master's degree, and the person who didn't even want to go to school ever. And you became religious and you're kosher and you're all these things that mom just totally respected and enjoyed from you. And I was amazed. You know, I was amazed. And none of that would have been none of those things would have happened without OA. None of them. And whatever part of OA I'm in, whether it's regular OA, OA 90, OA Vision, it doesn't matter. All of them have been amazing, amazingly helpful and life-changing and miraculous. And going from somebody who was totally hateful to my mom, really bad, cussed her out, did whatever, you know, I was able to hug her and love her, and I was also able to put my head in her lap and have her stroke my hair because I felt like I didn't get that as a baby, and she just did it for me, and whatever it was, I couldn't have done any of these things without this program and these 12 steps and the fellowship, especially the fellowship. You are great. I hope you have a great weekend. And, you know, I love you in my heart, all of you. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, honey. At the next up, I think Melissa C. was in there. So I'm going to say Melissa C. followed by Janice P. M.
Yep, it's me. Are you able to hear me, Russ? Melissa C.
Gotcha. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks for hearing me. Thanks for taking the meeting. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and oh my gosh, you know, I know my heart's like pounding. I'm thinking about, first of all, happy birthday, Harlan. I was really moved by the words that he said, and it really conjured up to mind, even though that wasn't initially why I pressed star one, but it really reminded me of a particularly painful birthday where it illustrates for me what it means to be dangerously antisocial. I recall like the first time before I came to OA, I think it was my 22nd or my 23rd birthday, I canceled plans with my friends. I had, plans to do something social with people. And instead I opted to stay home to binge. Like I actually canceled being with other human beings because I preferred, you know, a lasagna by myself and a cake by myself. And that is just, you know, when I think about that today, it pains my heart that was the way that I experienced my life. And that was like one of many examples of ways that I have been dangerously antisocial. By the way, whether I was dieting or not, you know, for me, when I think about antisocial, I've been antisocial when I show up at an event and the only thing I'm thinking about is myself. You know, what am I going to get from this occasion? What are they going to serve me? Am I going to have a good time? Is there going to be someone for me to talk to? Because I'm not thinking about being social. I'm not thinking about other people. I'm thinking about myself and where I fit in. And, you know, I know that my disease, this disease of compulsive overeating, lives and thrives in a self-centered heart. And so when I walk into places like that, yeah, no doubt I ate. You know, whether many of my social, you know, experiences, I was born into a very social family. And I look at pictures of myself throughout the years, and I can see I lived with like a glass wall between me and the people who loved me. You know, so I would eat in the bathroom at social events. I would show up with tons of resentments, anything anyone ever did to me, real or imagined. You know, other people eat and in social situations, and the food is like the background music. It enhances their experience. And for me, if I ate something in a social setting or I was trying not to in a social setting, the food was not enhancing the occasion. It was like drowning out. It was not the background music. It was the only thing I could hear. And I had no ability to connect with other people. And thank you, God, I don't live that way anymore. I'm just going to real quick say that I show up at events today not thinking about what I'm going to get from the occasion, but what I can bring. And when I show up that way, the food is quiet. But that'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is my favorite Celtics fan, Janice PM.
Thank you, Russ. This is Janice PM. And I am such a grateful, recovered
compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts all my life, well, practically. And, you know, yeah, a special happy birthday to Holland. You know, I guess God is not done with us yet, because I'm 82 and I'm still here. My goodness. I have more work to do, I guess. I guess you do too, Holland, huh? Well, you know, this paragraph is a clear picture of a real compulsive overeater. Not a hot eater, not a moderate eater, but a real compulsive overeater. Because the difference between the two of us, a hot eater and a compulsive, a real alcoholic, compulsive overeater, is that, you know, the hot eater could quit eating if he would, because he's not powerless. You know, he could get abstinent, he could go on a diet and stay like that. But the difference with me, the real compulsive overeater, the compulsive overeater would quit myself. I could if I had a higher power than me. Because the real meat of this program is this first step of powerlessness, no control. There's two parts to my disease. I am powerless. And my thinking is insane, because I know from all these years, since 1982, I tried very hard to get those results. And I was insane. Still am. If I think differently, that I can do this, expecting different results. I mean, it's very simple. And that's what it means, because I had the phenomenon of craving. Yeah, a lot of people could feel like, you know, eating more or less, you know, when they could, when they would, but they could stop and say, oh no, they could think differently than me. And boy, I couldn't think differently when it came to my foods. I used, just like a druggie, I used it to be high. I used it to get to other people. I'm a user. But you know, when that higher power comes into my life through the implementation of these 12 steps, my personality changes. A regular hard eater, you know, I mean, their personality is the same, you know, maybe most of the time, like my husband was. But, you know, not me. Like somebody said, which I thought was ingenious, is true. It doesn't just happen when I stop eating and become abstinent. I get worse, not better. If you want to feel worse, then, you know, stop eating and don't get into the steps. But that's what happened to me. You see, the phenomenon of craving, I could not figure out for the heck of me.
God.
And now I know that I, thank you very much, that I am powerless and I could recover one day at a time with a higher power. That's the solution. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Jan. Next up is Robin P., and then we'll have time, I think, for maybe two more shares.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Russ. And happy birthday, Harlan. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Sardinia.
Robin, I think you got muted. Star one.
Yep, I did get muted. Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Sardinia traveling. And happy birthday, Harlan. And thank you, Russ, for the meeting and everyone else who makes this meeting possible. I'm very grateful to be recovered today and on a meeting. You know, it's such a blessing. I was such an isolator. I was so alone with the food, and food was my God, and it didn't work ever. But it was that definition of insanity. And oh my gosh, I was so dangerously alone. I no matter what I did, I would just go home and hide in the food. And I would cancel plans. Just, I was so lonely, that bitter loneliness. And now I have so many friends in and out of the program. I'm just astonished at how many friends I have and how grateful I am. I'm happily married and my husband and I, we've been together, and we get along, and it's just like all this is a miracle. And you know, I have friends today that I care about. I didn't even know how to care about anybody. And we live in Costa Rica for half the year, and we're traveling. I'm retired now. You know, I get to go anywhere and do anything abstinently and recovered in this program. It's just all by God's grace. I didn't think I could do anything when I was in the food, and I couldn't. And now I show up for my life, and recently, you know, and some of it's hard. You know, my dad's dying of a massive brain tumor that came out of nowhere, and he's been healthy, very, very healthy his whole life. And, you know, it's very hard. And a good friend of ours in Costa Rica just passed, and he's young, and he just passed away. And these are hard things that I care about, and I learned to care in this program. And I also have steps to work through it because the grief is hard. And thank God for the program. Thank God for my God squad. And thank God for God. You know, I just get to keep reaching up and reaching out. And that saves me every time. I'm just so grateful for all of you. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day and weekend. And I pass. Thanks again.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it. So, actually, we got time for just one more share. So, who would like to?
Charles.
We got Charles. Charles is going to take it. Go ahead, buddy.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you, man. I ain't gonna waste no time saying my name. You already said it. So, you know, I make a decision to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I make that decision. Nobody else, none of y'all good sharing people on the line, none of y'all people, nobody, not even God. I make that decision to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Or I could choose number two and make that decision to be, you know, a person that's seeking recovery at all costs. And, you know, I think the other day I talked about the number three. It's you know, in the big book, you know, we talk about 48 hours, but also in a vision for you, we talk about on the third day. You know, in the doctor's opinion, we talk about his third treatment. And some people say his fourth treatment. That could be debatable, but I stay out of the debate in society today. Because I choose not to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I could talk for 3 minutes. You know, I could talk for 100 minutes. I could talk for a long time. But I need to make that decision in my mind. On the third day, I could be resurrected. On page 63, it talks about 11 third-step promises. That I could be reborn in my mind if I make a decision. If I take more than 10 seconds on the third step, I'm doing it wrong. It's just a conclusion of the mind that I don't care what's going on, who don't like me, who likes me, you know, what day it is, what we got going on. I make a decision to work these steps like my hair is on fire. I stay quiet not because of silent scorn. I stay quiet to learn and hear the experiences of everybody so that I can take that into my psyche and work these steps. On the third day, we could be resurrected. On the third day, if I make a decision, if I have the crap out of my body for 48 to 72 hours, I'm going to become so uncomfortable, but I can't stay right there. You know, skepticism can't live in this mind today. Doubt can't live in this mind today, right? You know, I love you guys. I hear you guys. You know, brother was able to go to New Mexico. I don't know nobody in New Mexico, but I was able to make decisions with partner with the other people, and I was able to have a voice. I wasn't a frequent flyer at the center stage, but I had a voice and said, we got to be more diverse. We got to get younger. It ain't just only white women. It's younger people. What's going to happen? And we hear my granddaddy say that all the time. He's such a beautiful young daddy. Take it. It's good. That's good money. Take it. Take it. That's good money. Anyway, so, yeah, on the third day, we got to get younger. What's going to happen when we die off? I want Overeaters Anonymous to be there for my kids, my grandkids. And so we have to include other people to get on board. And that's the vision today. A visionary can delight in the dark. That's the vision. It's not like, oh my God, we're being so melodramatic. It's real. What's going to happen in 10 years, 20 years? We need younger blood. Black, white, green, blue, pink, purple, I don't care. We need younger blood. And we need more people. We need people from overseas. We need people from China, Ukraine, all over the world. And I was able to bring my little experience, strength, and hope and make people uncomfortable, not on purpose, but we got to do that. We've got to compel people. We need groups to die in. We need to compel people because we need every group that is made. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Vision. For you. I love y'all, man.
All right, Charles. Thanks, bro. All right, so Charles is the last to share. We thank everyone who shared on this meeting. Please stay for the second unrecorded hour of study immediately after this closing here. And let me see, today's share ID, let's get that for you. So today's share ID is Friday, May 24th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,430. 21,430. And now we'll close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I ask Loretta M. to read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thanks, Russ. And it is Loretta H., but that's okay. I'm from North Carolina and recovered for today. Hi, guys, and you are saving my life. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day, for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God. As you understand, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.